This is the reading for July 22nd. Proverbs 11. The Lord hates dishonest scales, but He is pleased with honest weights. Pride leads only to shame. It is wise to be humble. Good people will be guided by honesty. Dishonesty will destroy those who are not trustworthy. Riches will not help them when it's time to die, but right living will save you from death. The goodness of the innocent makes life easier, but the wicked will be destroyed by their wickedness. Doing right brings freedom to honest people, but those who are not trustworthy will be caught by their own desires. When the wicked die, hope dies with them. Their hope in riches will come to nothing. The good person is saved from trouble. It comes to the wicked instead. With words, an evil person can destroy a neighbor, but a good neighbor will escape by being smart. When good people succeed, the city is happy. When evil people die, there are shouts of joy. Good people bless and build up their city, but the wicked can destroy it with their words. People without good sense find fault with their neighbors, but those with understanding keep quiet. Gossips can't keep secrets, but a trustworthy person can. Without leadership, a nation falls, but lots of good advice will save it. Whoever guarantees to pay somebody else's loan will suffer. It is safer to avoid such promises. A kind woman gets respect, but cruel men get only wealth. Kind people do themselves a favor, but cruel people bring trouble on themselves. An evil person really earns nothing, but a good person will surely be rewarded. Those who are truly good will live, but those who chase after evil will die. The Lord hates those with evil hearts, but is pleased with those who are innocent. Evil people will certainly be punished, but those who do right will be set free. A beautiful woman without good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Those who do right only wish for good, but the wicked can expect to be defeated by God's anger. Some people give much, but get back even more. Others don't give what they should and end up poor. Whoever gives to others will get richer. Those who help others will help themselves. People curse those who keep all the grain, but they bless the one who is willing to sell it. Whoever looks for good will find kindness, but whoever looks for evil will find trouble. Those who trust in riches will be ruined, but a good person will be healthy like a green leaf. Whoever brings trouble to his family will be left with nothing but the wind. A fool will be servant to the wise. A good person gives life to others. The wise person teaches others how to live. Good people will be rewarded on earth, and the wicked and the sinners will be punished. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what the Lord said was right. He lived as his ancestor David had lived, and he did not stop doing what was right. In his 8th year as king, while he was still young, Josiah began to obey the God of his ancestor David. In his 12th year as king, Josiah began to remove from Judah and Jerusalem the gods, the places for worshiping gods, the Asherah idols, and the wooden and metal idols. The people tore down the altars for the Baal gods as Josiah directed. Then Josiah cut down the incense altars that were above them. He broke up the Asherah idols and the wooden and metal idols and beat them into powder. Then he sprinkled the powder on the graves of the people who had offered sacrifices to these gods. He burned the bones of their priests on their own altars. So Josiah removed idol worship from Judah and Jerusalem, and from the towns in the areas of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, all the way to Naphtali, and in the ruins near these towns. Josiah broke down the altars and Asherah idols and beat the idols into powder. He cut down all the incense altars in all of Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In Josiah's 18th year as king, he made Judah and the temple pure again. He sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Messiah, the city leader, and Joah, son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord, the God of Josiah. These men went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money the Levite gatekeepers had gathered from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and all the Israelites who were left alive, and also from all the people of Judah, Benjamin, and Jerusalem. This is the money they had brought into the temple of God. Then the Levites gave it to the supervisors of the work on the temple of the Lord, and they paid the workers who rebuilt and repaired the temple. They gave money to carpenters and builders to buy cut stone and wood. The wood was used to rebuild the buildings and to make beams for them, because the kings of Judah had let the buildings fall into ruin. The men did their work well. Their supervisors were Jahath and Obadiah, who were Levites from the family of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, who were from the family of Kohath. These Levites were all skilled musicians. They were also in charge of the workers who carried loads and all the other workers. Some Levites worked as secretaries, officers, and gatekeepers. The Levites brought out the money that was in the temple of the Lord. As they were doing this, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the Lord's teachings that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the royal secretary, "I found the book of the teachings in the temple of the Lord." Then he gave it to Shaphan. Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to Josiah, "Your officers are doing everything you told them to do. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have given it to the supervisors and the workers." Then Shaphan, the royal secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from the book to the king. When the king heard the words of the teachings, he tore his clothes to show how upset he was. He gave orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Akbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the royal secretary, and Asaiah the king's servant. These were the orders: "Go and ask the Lord about the words in the book that was found. Ask for me and for the people who are left alive in Israel and Judah. The Lord is very angry with us because our ancestors did not obey the Lord's word. They did not do everything this book says to do." So Hilkiah and those the king sent with him went to talk to Huldah the prophetess. She was the wife of Shalem, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, who took care of the king's clothes. Huldah lived in Jerusalem, in the new area of the city. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, 'This is what the Lord says. I will bring trouble to this place and to the people living here. I will bring all the curses that are written in the book that was read to the king of Judah. The people of Judah have left me and have burned incense to other gods. They have made me angry by all the evil things they have made. So I will punish them in my anger, which will not be put out. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to ask the Lord, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the words you heard. When you heard my words against this place and its people, you became sorry for what you had done and you humbled yourself before me. You tore your clothes to show how upset you were, and you cried in my presence. This is why I have heard you, says the Lord. So I will let you die and be buried in peace. You won't see all the trouble I will bring to this place and the people living here.'" So they took her message back to the king. Then the king gathered all the older leaders of Judah and Jerusalem together. He went up to the temple of the Lord, and all the people from Judah and from Jerusalem went with him. The priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the most important to the least important, went with him. He read to them all the words in the book of the agreement that was found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and made an agreement in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and obey his commands, rules, and laws with his whole being, and to obey the words of the agreement written in this book. Then Josiah made all the people in Jerusalem and Benjamin promise to accept the agreement. So the people of Jerusalem obeyed the agreement of God, the God of their ancestors. And Josiah threw out the hateful idols from all the land that belonged to the Israelites. He led everyone in Israel to serve the Lord their God. While Josiah lived, the people obeyed the Lord, the God of their ancestors. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. King Josiah celebrated the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. The Passover lamb was killed on the 14th day of the first month. Josiah chose the priests to do their duties, and he encouraged them as they served in the temple of the Lord. The Levites taught the Israelites and were made holy for service to the Lord. Josiah said to them, "Put the holy ark in the temple that David's son Solomon, the king of Israel, built. Do not carry it from place to place on your shoulders anymore. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves by your family groups for service, and do the jobs that King David and his son Solomon gave you to do. Stand in the holy place with a group of the Levites for each family group of the people. Kill the Passover lambs and make yourselves holy to the Lord. Prepare the lambs for your relatives, the people of Israel, as the Lord through Moses commanded us to do. Josiah gave the Israelites 30,000 sheep and goats to kill for the Passover sacrifices, and he gave them 3,000 cattle. They were all his own animals. Josiah's officers also gave willingly to the people, the priests, and the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the officers in charge of the temple, gave the priests 2,600 lambs and goats and 300 cattle for Passover sacrifices. Conaniah, his brother, Shemaiah, and Nathanael, and Hashabiah, Jeiel, and Jozabad gave the Levites 5,000 sheep and goats and 500 cattle for Passover sacrifices. These men were leaders of the Levites. When everything was ready for the Passover service, the priests and Levites went to their places as the king had commanded. The Passover lambs were killed. Then the Levites skinned the animals and gave the blood to the priest, who sprinkled it on the altar. Then they gave the animals for the burnt offerings to the different family groups, so the burnt offerings could be offered to the Lord, as was written in the book of Moses. They also did this with the cattle. The Levites roasted the Passover sacrifices over the fire as they were commanded, and they boiled the holy offerings in pots, kettles, and pans. Then they quickly gave the meat to the people. After this was finished, the Levites prepared meat for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron. The priests worked until night, offering the burnt offerings and burning the fat of the sacrifices. The Levite singers from Asaph's family stood in the places chosen for them by King David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers at each gate did not have to leave their places because their fellow Levites had prepared everything for them for the Passover. So everything was done that day for the worship of the Lord as King Josiah commanded. The Passover was celebrated and the burnt offerings were offered on the king's altar. The Israelites who were there celebrated the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. The Passover had not been celebrated like this in Israel since the prophet Samuel was alive. None of the kings of Israel had ever celebrated a Passover like it was celebrated by King Josiah, the priests, the Levites, the people of Judah and Israel who were there, and the people of Jerusalem. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year Josiah was king. After Josiah did all this for the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, led an army to attack Carchemish, a town on the Euphrates River. And Josiah marched out to fight against Necho. But Necho sent messengers to Josiah, saying, "King Josiah, there should not be war between us. I did not come to fight you, but my enemies. God told me to hurry, and he is on my side, so don't fight God or he will destroy you." But Josiah did not go away. He wore different clothes so no one would know who he was. Refusing to listen to what Necho said at God's command, Josiah went to fight on the plain of Megiddo. In the battle, King Josiah was shot by archers. He told his servants, "Take me away because I am badly wounded." So they took him out of his chariot and put him in another chariot and carried him to Jerusalem. There he died and was buried in the graves where his ancestors were buried. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem were very sad because he was dead. Jeremiah wrote some sad songs about Josiah. Even to this day, all the men and women singers remember and honor Josiah with these songs. It became a custom in Israel to sing these songs that are written in the collection of sad songs. The other things Josiah did as king, from beginning to end, are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. It tells how he loved what was written in the Lord's teachings. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The people of Judah chose Josiah's son Jehoahaz and made him king in Jerusalem in his father's place. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he was king in Jerusalem for 3 months. Then King Necho of Egypt removed Jehoahaz from being king in Jerusalem. Necho made the people of Judah pay about 7,500 pounds of silver and about 75 pounds of gold. The king of Egypt made Jehoahaz's brother Eliakim the king of Judah in Jerusalem and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But Necho took his brother Jehoahaz to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he was king in Jerusalem for 11 years. He did what the Lord his God said was wrong. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Judah, captured Jehoiakim, put bronze chains on him, and took him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar removed some things from the temple of the Lord, took them to Babylon, and put them in his own palace. The other things Jehoiakim did as king, the hateful things he did, and everything he was guilty of doing, are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiakim's son Jehoiakim became king in his place. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king of Judah, and he was king in Jerusalem for 3 months and 10 days. He did what the Lord said was wrong. In the spring, King Nebuchadnezzar sent for Jehoiakim and brought him and some valuable treasures from the temple of the Lord to Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar made Jehoiakim's uncle Zedekiah the king of Judah in Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king of Judah, and he was king in Jerusalem for 11 years. Zedekiah did what the Lord his God said was wrong. The prophet Jeremiah spoke messages from the Lord, but Zedekiah did not obey. Zedekiah turned against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had forced him to swear in God's name to be loyal to him. But Zedekiah became stubborn and refused to obey the Lord, the God of Israel. Also, all the leaders of the priests and the people of Judah became more wicked, following the evil example of the other nations. The Lord had made the temple in Jerusalem holy, but the leaders made it unholy. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, sent prophets again and again to warn his people, because he had pity on them and on his temple. But they made fun of God's prophets and hated God's messages. They refused to listen to the prophets until finally the Lord became so angry with his people that he could not be stopped. So God brought the king of Babylon to attack them. The king killed the young men even when they were in the temple. He had no mercy on the young men or women, the old men or those who were sick. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar carried away to Babylon all the things from the temple of God, both large and small, and all the treasures from the temple of the Lord and from the king and his officers. Nebuchadnezzar and his army set fire to God's temple and broke down Jerusalem's wall and burned all the palaces. They took or destroyed every valuable thing in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar took captive to Babylon the people who were left alive, and he forced them to be slaves for him and his descendants. They remained there as slaves until the Persian kingdom defeated Babylon. And so what the Lord had told Israel through the prophet Jeremiah happened. The country was an empty wasteland for 70 years to make up for the years of Sabbath rest that the people had not kept. In the first year Cyrus was king of Persia, the Lord had Cyrus send an announcement to his whole kingdom. This happened so the Lord's message spoken by Jeremiah would come true. He wrote, "This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Now may the Lord your God be with all of you who are his people. You are free to go to Jerusalem."
The book of Philippians.
My name is Paul. While I was imprisoned in Rome, the Philippian church sent me a gift. I write to express my love for them and to encourage them. I also need to warn them of false teachers. I share with them of the progress of the good news in Rome in spite of my imprisonment.
Chapter 1.
From Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to God's people in the city of Philippi and their bishops and deacons, to everyone who is united with Christ Jesus, goodwill and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are yours. I thank my God for all the memories I have of you. Every time I pray for all of you, I do it with joy. I can do this because of the partnership we've had with you and the good news from the first day you believed until now. I'm convinced that God, who began this good work in you, will carry it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. You have a special place in my heart, so it's right for me to think this way about all of you. All of you are my partners. Together we share God's favor. Whether I'm in prison or defending and confirming the truth of the good news, God is my witness that, with all the compassion of Christ Jesus, I long to see every one of you. I pray that your love will keep on growing because of your knowledge and insight. That way you will be able to determine what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Jesus Christ will fill your lives with everything that God's approval produces. Your lives will then bring glory and praise to God. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what happened to me has helped to spread the good news. As a result, it has become clear to all the soldiers who guard the emperor and to everyone else that I am in prison because of Christ. So through my being in prison, the Lord has given most of our brothers and sisters confidence to speak God's word more boldly and fearlessly than ever. Some people tell the message about Christ because of their jealousy and envy. Others tell the message about him because of their goodwill. Those who tell the message about Christ out of love know that God has put me here to defend the good news. But the others are insincere. They tell the message about Christ out of selfish ambition in order to stir up trouble for me while I'm in prison. But what does it matter? Nothing matters except that in one way or another, people are told the message about Christ, whether with honest or dishonest motives, and I'm happy about that. Yes, I will continue to be happy for another reason. I know that I will be set free through your prayers and through the help that comes from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I eagerly expect and hope that I will have nothing to be ashamed of. I will speak very boldly and honor Christ in my body, now as always, whether I live or die. Christ means everything to me in this life, and when I die, I'll have even more. If I continue to live in this life, my work will produce more results. I don't know which I would prefer.
I find it hard to choose between the two.
I would like to leave this life and be with Christ. That's by far the better choice. But for your sake, it's better that I remain in this life. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will continue to live and be with all of you. This will help you to grow and be joyful in your faith. So by coming to you again, I want to give you even more reason to have pride in Christ Jesus with me. Live as citizens who reflect the good news about Christ. Then whether I come to see you or whether I stay away, I'll hear all about you. I'll hear that you are firmly united in spirit, united in fighting for the faith that the good news brings. So don't let your opponents intimidate you in any way. This is God's way of showing them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved. God has given you the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for him. You are involved in the same struggle that you saw me having. Now you hear that I'm still involved in it.